supposed to talk about tonight about the preparation for Rosh Hashanah, now in the month of Elul. And Baruch Hashem, today we celebrated a very special day, the 18th day of Elul, which is the birthday of the Baal Shem Tov. And it's also the birthday of the Baal HaTanya. And the 18th day of Elul marks that we're basically 12 days before Rosh Hashanah. So we know that we have the entire month of Elul to get ready for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and to do Tshuva and basically get ready for the coming new year. But the entire theme of the month is that we have to reflect and do Tshuva and do our soul search and fix our acts. So we kind of approach the special day of Rosh Hashanah when we're all ready and cleaned and after we did our Tshuva. Which, you know, most of the efforts in the month of Elul is really to do tshuva for my entire year. And the easiest way to kind of relate to is like a business owner. Once a year, at the end of the year, he goes through his accounting, he sees how the business is doing. The entire year, he doesn't really look at every little detail. Comes the end of the year, he's sitting with all the numbers, with opening the books, how much was the budget, how much money we made, how much money we lost, where did we have to put more effort, and so forth. He's doing an accounting for his business to see where they can get better for the next year, where they can invest more, maybe some more in marketing, maybe to save in some of an employees or whatever. So the same way, right before the end of the year, we want to do an accounting. What did I do my entire year, and how do I get a better year? Now, the basic idea that I have to do tshuva at the end of the year because I want to come to Rosh Hashanah that I'm, so to say, clean, and after I tried at least to do as best as possible my tshuva so I can get the blessing for the next coming year, the basic idea is very good. But I like to always see it in a much different way, because when people see that, oh, wait a minute, I'm going to be judged now on Rosh Hashanah, and if I did some bad things, maybe I'm not going to get a good blessing for the next year, and it becomes very, very negative, let's put it this way. Because at the end of the day, we're all human, and we try to follow the Torah, we try to do good things, we try to be good to each other, we do our best, but the reality is that we're human, and we're not 100%. And to think that if maybe I did something wrong, and maybe because of that, I'm not going to be forgiven, and then I'm not going to get my blessing. And this type of thought, I mean, doesn't give you the energy and the enthusiasm to get excited to follow the Torah and mitzvahs and to do tshuva. So I like looking at it in a completely different way, is that we know that on Rosh Hashanah we get our blessing for the entire year. This is the day where basically they open the books in Shamayim, in the heavenly court, and that's the day that we all decided how much we're going to make, who are we going to marry, how many kids are we going to have, how our entire year is going to be. That's why the holiday is called Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, when you translate it, it's the head of the year. Technically, it should have been called Tchilat Hashanah, the beginning of the year. Or many other words that they can reword the holiday, but they call the holiday Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because the same thing, that everything is included in the head. So the same thing, everything is included in that day. Everything is decided on that day. Everything that what I'm going to have the entire coming following year is decided on that day. Now, a lot of people, what they do is they look at the year back and they're saying, wait a minute, I didn't make so much money this year. So must have been that I didn't get such a good blessing last year because I didn't make a lot of money this year. Or this didn't work out, that didn't work out, I had this issue, I had that problem, must be that I wasn't so great last year that I didn't get a good blessing. But the reality is that the Kadosh Baruch Hu blesses us at the beginning of the year with such an abundance of blessing that if we would really see what we were blessed at, we wouldn't believe how much love and blessing we're getting from the Kadosh Baruch Hu. If we would see the report. Because on Rosh Hashanah, Hashem loves us so much that he bestows on us this unbelievable blessing, unbelievable abundance of everything, of health and wealth and everything. The only problem is that it's in my hands to actually receive this blessing. So the Kadosh Baruch Hu is constantly giving. He's a giver. He doesn't stop giving for 1 second. And he doesn't differentiate between one and the other because, oh, you're better, you're less good, you're not good. It doesn't work like that. Hashem is projecting His unbelievable blessing on all of us equally. He sees us all equal. He doesn't see us different from each other. That's the big mistake, especially in our generation, that people think that maybe you are better than me, I'm better than you. There's no such a thing. People think that they're measured in the eyes of the Kadosh Baruch Hu according to how much Torah and mitzvot they do. Hashem loves us all equally. Like a father loves his children equally, the father doesn't love one of the children less because he doesn't get straight A's in his report card. Usually a normal parent loves the children all the same. One is a little bit better in here, and one is a little bit less better there. So the same idea is the Kadosh Baruch Hu, He loves us all equally. And He blesses us equally, and He blesses us an unbelievable abundance of blessing. The problem is in the receiver, not in the giver. So it's not that Hashem is not blessing me with anything that I wish for. Rather, I'm the problem. If I'm lacking something, it means that I'm not worthy to receive this bracha. So the problem is not necessarily is if Kadosh Baruch Hu gave me a good blessing the last year. Rather, it was I, a vessel to receive this blessing. So for example, we see that the Kadosh Baruch Hu every year, He blesses all of us in the beginning of the year with unbelievable wealth. But then He tells you, I'm like the lottery. I'm not giving you a $300 million check in one shot. Every month I'll give you one payment. Same thing with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. He says, I'm not going to give you the entire wealth in one shot. You need to slowly, slowly materialize it into this world. And that's why our sages, they made it, we have to pray three times a day. Because three times a day when I pray, I basically take the blessing that I got from the spiritual world and I transform it into the spirit, to the physical world. So my abundance, my parnasa, corresponds to one of the brachot. And then my health, if you look at all the brachot, the blessing that we say in Tefillat Shmona Esrei, each one is for health, one is for sustenance, and so forth. So every time that I go and pray, I basically get one payment down. I materialize the blessing in this world. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, listen, you have to slowly, slowly materialize it. Now the problem happens is that when I follow the Torah 100%, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says in the Zohar that from our soul to God, there's a rope that connects us. The same way, of course, it's a spiritual rope. The same way that a physical rope is built from many thin threads, so the same thing with the spiritual rope, it's also built from many thin threads. And to be exact, it's built from 620 threads, corresponding to the 613 mitzvot from the Torah, and the seven mitzvot that we have from our sages. Zohar calls it 620 pillars of light. If I follow the entire Torah, then all these threads are connecting me to my source, and then the abundance, the blessing is running freely. But if I start cutting these ropes, then I'm starting to lose power. And a certain abundance cannot move from one side to the other. I like calling it channels, not threads, because each channel brings some type of an abundance, some type of a blessing. One channel will bring me my sustenance, one channel will bring me my God-fearing, my Yirat Shamayim, another channel will bring me my Shlom Bayit. Every channel will be a source for one type of blessing to be received. So if I'm Chas V'Shalom lacking something, it means that I'm the one who's stopping the blessing from coming in. So I have I can't come and complain to God, oh, you didn't give me a blessing this year. Or last year I didn't pray enough on Rosh Hashanah, so I didn't get an abundance of blessing. The reality is that we get everything that we want in quantities that we won't even be able to handle. Rather, the problem is in the receiver, not in the giver. So the right way to look at the process of Rosh Hashanah is not to look, of course I have to do tshuva. I mean, the point is that if you're really going down to the bottom of it, you cannot do tshuva in 1 month for the entire year. And some people say, no, I'll live my year how I want to, and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur will come, and I'll do tshuva. But the reality is you cannot do tshuva in 1 day for the entire year. How can you remember what you did 11 months ago? How can you remember if you owe somebody money that you borrowed 10 months ago? So the reality is you can't do tshuva in 1 month, in the month of Elul, and you can't do tshuva on 1 day of Yom Kippur. The tshuva has to be done every day. That's why we have special auspicious times in the year. Yom Kippur, of course, is the most auspicious time for forgiveness and to do tshuva. But every Rosh Chodesh, we do tshuva for the entire month. Rosh Chodesh is called the Yom Kippur Katan. Some people have the custom to actually fast on Erev Yom Kippur, on Erev Rosh Chodesh. And then we do tshuva on Friday evening, on Erev Shabbat. The ladies do it when they light the candles, and we should do it before Mincha, right before we get ready for Mincha. It's the right way to go prepare yourself for Shabbat and sit already in the synagogue, and 5, 6, 10 minutes before they start praying, you do tshuva. How was I the whole week? Was I a good employee? Was I a good employer? Was I a good father? Was I a good servant to my master? Did I really wake up every day to pray? Was I praying 3 times a day? You do a cheshbon nefesh. How was I this week? That's really when you can do tshuva, because everything is fresh in your mind. You cannot do tshuva once a year for what I did 11 months ago. But the real time to do tshuva is when, before you go to bed, is when you read Kriyat Shema Lamita. When you read Kriyat Shema Lamita, the spiritual explanation of it is your soul leaves the body at night, and your body is just thrown on the bed like a corpse. And at night, when your soul leaves the body, the body is just thrown there, and anything can harm the body. So you create these angels that surround your body and protect the body. More than that, when you go to sleep at night, your soul goes up to the heavenly court and gives an account what it did the whole day. Then after 120 years, when you reach Shamayim, they tell you, listen, you wrote this journal, you wrote the diary. But really, the point of Kriyat Shema Lamita, one of the many, is that it's the time that you end the day like a business owner. Most business owners, it comes at the end of the day, especially when they have a cash registry, not when they invoice their customers once a month. A business owner that has a cashier counts the money at the end of the night. I mean, I don't know any business owner that closes the store and goes home, counts the money. And usually he will count it 2 or 3 times to make sure that he didn't miss a dollar. So the same way that when you're closing your store for tonight, you sit down on your bed or you sit down in the couch or whatever and you read Kriyat Shema Lamita, which in itself is a very big tikkun for our soul, but that's the right time that you do tshuva for the day because it's fresh in your mind. You remember exactly what you did today. And some people take a notepad and they write down. Maybe I owe somebody money. Maybe I said something wrong. I walked into the house with a lot of anger because everybody was driving me crazy in the job today and I threw a not nice word to my wife and I hurt her feelings. I don't know. You can do something like that. You don't remember what you did months ago. But you can remember what you did on that day. So the right way to do tshuva is at the end of the day. At the end of the day when everything is fresh in your mind. And I always give the same example that one time I came home, my wife told me, just that you know, I owe the neighbor $40 because I didn't have money to pay the cleaning lady. I borrowed from her $40 and just know that we owe her money. And I told her, why don't you go now and pay her? Here's the money, go and pay her. She told me, okay, it's 10 o'clock at night. I'll pay her tomorrow. I told her, no, pay her now. You know why? Because tomorrow you're going to wake up in the morning. You have 6 kids, you're going to rush to take them to school, you're going to go, your entire day you'll be involved in what's going on, you're going to forget to pay her. And you know what's going to happen? A day will pass, and another day will pass, now you're saying, okay, $40 between neighbors, what's $40? And she's going to see you in the hallway, and she's going to be upset. She owes me $40. It's not about the money, it's about the fact that I gave it to her, and you're going to forget, because you're human, and you're not doing it deliberately, but she's going to hold grudge, and every time she's going to see you, she'll be like, she owes me $40. And then she's going to grab another neighbor and start talking Lashon Hara about you. You know that I gave her $40 and she never paid me back? And you're going to forget, and look what you're going to cause here. You can cause here a whole fight because of this $40. Just go and give it back right now. Now it's fresh in your mind. So when comes the end of the day, and I do an account, what did I do the entire day, it's all fresh. I mean, how many times you walk home, you had a hard day, your customers drove you nuts. You walk into the home, your kid says the wrong word and you scream. What did the kid do? He didn't do anything. You just came home with a baggage of anger. The kid didn't do nothing. Now, if you caught yourself right on the spot and you are responsible and mature, you walk in and you walk into the room and tell the kid, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to scream at you. I apologize. I had a long day. I had a hard day. I had a lot of pressure in work. I'm sorry I screamed at you. Now, not a lot of fathers will actually do that. And a lot of people, what they do is they put that on hold, and a day or two passes, they forgot. But could be that the little boy or little girl, 7 years old, they remember that. They remember that they didn't do anything and you just screamed at them. So the point is that we want to live our life not to do tshuva once a year, it's to do tshuva every day. If you do tshuva every day, you live your life the right way. And then when Kippur comes, you have nothing to worry about. You don't have to do a whole month of slichot. You don't have to do, like, what did I do? Maybe I owe somebody money. Maybe I did a vow. I say a neder. I don't know where I'm holding. How can you do tshuva even in a month for the entire year? The right way is you clean your slate at the end of the day. If I owe somebody something, I'll go and apologize. I'll give it back. Whatever I promised, I'll do. I'll appease wherever I hurt. That's the right way to live my life as tshuva. But when you're looking at the point of the month of Elul, it's not to go crazy of, okay, how am I preparing myself to stand in front of the Master of the Universe on that special day of Rosh Hashanah. It's rather to say, not what did I do bad the entire year, because now I want to stand there and get a good blessing for the rest, for the next year. Rather say, what can I do next year that I didn't do this previous year? How can I get better? Not how am I patching up what I did bad. We're always going to do bad. It says, "In tzaddik asher yechiyeh ba'aretz v'lo yechta." Well, we're human. But the attitude should be completely different. Instead of having the attitude of, oh my gosh, I did this and that, and now I'm going to be standing in fear in front of the Master of the Universe, is the whole month to say, you know what did I do this entire year that next year I can actually be better? And by me being better the next following year, that's what's going to bestow on me this unbelievable ability to get this abundance of blessing. Because the abundance of blessing I'll get regardless. I told you, the Kadosh Baruch Hu loves us so much. He just gives us everything. He doesn't make cheshbonot, accounts. He just says, okay, he throws on each and everyone an unbelievable abundance of blessing. He just tells you, now you be a mensch and prepare yourself, make yourself a vessel to receive this blessing. I mean, if I have this expensive wine that is worth thousands of dollars, and if I want to give it to you to drink a little bit of your wine, if you don't hand out a cup, I'm not going to be able to give you the wine, and even if I spill it, it will all fall on the floor. You have to hand out a vessel, a kli, that I can receive this unbelievable abundance. So in the month of Elul is when you really clean your vessel. By first of all seeing, okay, what was I doing not so well? Maybe I wasn't 100%, and we're not 100%, that's the reality. But the point is not to look at it in the negative aspect of what we're not doing, is what can I do better the next year? What can I do better that this coming year I will actually be able to handle the blessing that the Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving me? And that's the part when you reflect the entire month is saying, okay, did I really pray every day three times a day like I'm supposed to? No. One check next year, Bezrat Hashem, I'll try to work on that. And if I can't make it to the minyan every day, at least I'll make sure that I'm not missing that. And you make yourself these resolutions, and you're saying, where was I failing the last year? I was failing here. Now let me work on that. When the attitude is like that, that's where I'm actually making myself the vessel to receive this blessing. And the point is that obviously we want to do tshuva for everything that we did. I mean, the point is of the month of Elul is to reflect on what did I do the entire year. The advantage of the time of the year, as I mentioned before, that today was, I mean, we just finished the 18th day of Elul, was the birthday of the Baal Shem Tov and also the birthday of the Baal HaTanya. And the Baal HaTanya gave a very interesting analogy of what's going on in the month of Elul. And he said when the month of Elul is called the Melech Basadeh, that the king is in the field. And he gives a parable that a king goes out on his business trip or whatever campaign that he had to do, and on his way back to the palace, he's crossing through the town, through the village, because he has to get into his palace. And everybody, of course, comes out to see the king. And he waves to everybody and throws kisses and shakes everybody's hands, and he's much more easy to access. Kind of like what's going on now in America. They have the presidential election, now they're all your best friends. You can stand on the street. If you now stand in front of Donald Trump, he'll shake your hand, he'll smile to you, and your best friend, after they get elected, they don't even remember who you are. So now they go out to the streets to see their voters, to smile to everybody, not to chas v'shalom that I'm comparing the presidential election to our Master of the Universe, but the same concept that they go out to the streets. And in the month of Elul, Hashem is making himself much more accessible. much more easy to approach. And this concept is called the Melech Basadeh, the king is in the field. And it's talking dafka in the field and not in the city. Because in the field is where we are. And now is a month where it's very, very easy to access the Kadosh Baruch Hu, meaning that it's our prayers are heard better, our requests are heard better. If you really focus on this month, you can see that even the Yetzer Hara is a little bit more diminished this month. I mean, a lot of people disagree with me. They tell me, oh, dafka in Elul, when it's time to do Tshuva, then the Yetzer Hara is even 10 times harder. It doesn't let me wake up even to say Slichot in the morning. The reality is that in the month of Elul, you have a discount. It's like a Black Friday. In America, you have once a year a Black Friday. Everything is 90% off. So now we have a 30-day Black Friday. Kadosh Baruch Hu says now everything is 50% off. Just come, and I'll hear your prayers much, much easier. But once the Kadosh Baruch Hu comes into his palace, which is on Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah is when we crown Hashem to be our king. I mean, on Yom Kippur, all day long, we just ask for forgiveness. On Rosh Hashanah, we're crowning God to be the master of the universe. We call him HaMelech HaKadosh. This is the time when we're basically appointing God to be our king. Because one of the many reasons why God created us, because it says, En Melech Beloam. You can't be a king if you don't have who to be a king on. So Hashem had to create us in order to be a king on somebody. And on Rosh Hashanah, that's when we crown him. That's when we appoint him to be our king. So that time, that's it. You can access the Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's in his chambers, in his palace. Now go get a meeting with the king. You can't. You have the whole month to do that. So the month of Elul has to be taken to consideration that now I have almost a free pass to do my tshuva. To really look back what I didn't do, what I missed, where can I get better. Not to look at it in a very negative way, where I messed up. Yeah, we all messed up. We're all human. I mean, you can be good here and not so good here. The point is not necessarily to look, that's how I see it, not necessarily to look on what did I do or what I didn't do in regards to the mitzvot. That's one thing. I mean, the Torah and the mitzvot we all have to do. We're all obligated, we all have to do it. There's no difference between the Jews. When the Torah says in the very clearly in the Ten Commandments, "Lo tignov," you should not steal, it doesn't give it who should steal and who should not steal. We're all equally not allowed to steal. And if the Torah says you should not commit adultery, we're all equally commanded the same way. Torah says you have to keep Shabbat, we all equally have to do it. There's no difference between Jews. And Hashem doesn't care how we dress or how we look or how we pronounce the words, all these separations, we're making it. But the reality is that we're all equal. So the Torah is given equally to all of us. So whatever the Torah says, the same way that I have to follow it, you have to follow it, there's no difference between either one of us. And these ways to understand the Torah and the mitzvot is the Torah and the mitzvot is the food and the air for our soul. Same way that you don't prevent your body from getting food and air, then we can't prevent our soul from getting food and air. And if I'm going to prevent my body from getting food, so after a few hours I'll have a stomach ache, and after a few hours more I'll have a headache. And if I don't eat for a whole day, then I'll be weak, and maybe I'll faint and so forth. And at some point, that's it. The body will not be able to take it. Same thing with spiritually. If I prevent my soul from getting its spiritual food, it will start bothering me. So if I prevent my soul from getting Torah and mitzvot, at some point my soul from the inside will start shaking me from inside. And it will come out in each individual completely different. One person will start becoming depressed. Another person will start having anxieties. Another person will have different fears. Another person will have nightmares. Each person will come in a different effect. So a person will become depressed. He will blame it on anything around him. I'm depressed because my wife is driving me crazy. The business is not working. I'm losing money. Too much pressure. No. It's because inside the neshama says, hello, you're not giving me food here. So each person gets affected completely different. So when the Torah comes and tells us you have to do this, don't do that, it's not to annoy us and to make our life hard. People sometimes see all these commandments as restricting and making my life hard. Rather, the Torah comes and tells you, just follow the manual, everything will be good. So, to do tshuva of what I do, what I don't do in regards to the Torah, that's basic, that everybody has to do their own cheshbon nefesh, where they're holding, where they can get better, and what they need to do. But really the main tshuva a person needs to do is, how am I behaving towards everybody around me? I mean, I don't impress Hashem if I sit 3 hours in the yeshiva and learn Torah. That's not impressing God at all. What's impressing God is how I treat my wife, how I treat my kids, how I treat my neighbors, how I treat everybody around me. I like seeing it that, you know, the month of Elul, the words in Hebrew have a lot of meaning in it. The month of Elul literally is equal to the word of love. Because if you're looking at the acronym of Elul, there's many different acronyms in Aleph Lamed Vav Lamed. So, you know, the famous one is Ani Ledodi Vedodi Li, I'm from my beloved from me. But if you look at the word of Elul, you know, there's a numerical value to each letter. It's called a gematria. But there's many different types of gematriot. So the basic one, everybody knows that Aleph is 1, Bet is 2, Gimel is 3, and so forth, and then Yud is 10, and then Kaf is already 20, and Lamed is 30, and so on. But there's another type of gematria, it's called gematria ktana, is that every letter that is beyond, after 10, you just remove the 0. So Lamed, for example, will be 30, right? But you take the 0 off, so it's 3. So, I'm sorry, it's 12. 20. No, 30, I'm sorry. So, if you're taking the word of Elul, when you're calculating in Gematria Ktana, so Aleph is 1, and then Lamed is 30, but you take the 0 off, so it's 3. And then Vav is 6, and Lamed again is 3, is 13. And 13 is the exact numerical value of the word Ahava, love. Love in Hebrew is Ahava. And the numerical value in basic gematria is 13, which we know that on the month of Elul, the 13 attributes of mercy are shining, are more revealed. These attributes of mercy is not necessarily Hashem having mercy over us, rather Hashem is showing His love to us. So, Bechlal Yusi, in the word of Elul, the first two letters of the month is Aleph and Lamed. And Aleph and Lamed is one of Hashem's name, El. We know Hashem has the name Elohim. We have the name Shin Dalet Yud, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. There's many different names. And each name corresponds to one attribute, one midah of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the name El, Aleph Lamed, corresponds to the midah, to the attribute of kindness, of chesed, of love, the love of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So this entire month is all about love. The same way that we want God to show His love to us, and that's the month that He is actually shining His love on us, the month of Elul. And this is already the hint, what do I need to do in regards to my avodah, my work in the month of Elul? Yeah, I have to do tshuva for the things that I do, Torah and mitzvot. But mainly is how I'm looking at everybody around me. How I'm judging everybody around me. How am I behaving toward another person? I mean, the thing that really impresses Hashem is not how much mitzvot and how much Torah I do, is how much love I give to another person that I don't even know. And this is called Ahavat Chinam, Ahavat Israel. Which the opposite of that is Sinat Chinam. This is why we're suffering still in exile, because the Holy Temple was destroyed from Sinat Chinam. From another person hating another person because he just doesn't dress the same. Or he doesn't look the same. Or he pronounces the words different. Or whatever. And unfortunately, in many places you feel this. There's not even a reason why people hate each other. And unfortunately, that's the thing that really gets Hashem upset. Hashem doesn't get offended if you do a mitzvah, if you don't do a mitzvah. He doesn't care. It's not that He doesn't care. But that's not what is impressing Hashem. If you have an unconditional love to another person, just because he's another person, that's where you impress the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's where you really get Hashem's blessing and attention. If you're able to tolerate any other person, doesn't matter how he dresses, where he came from, how he pronounces his words, he's davening with this siddur, you're davening from that siddur, all this Sinat Chinam, this hate with no cause, that's what's annoying the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And Hashem is telling you, you want to do the right tshuva, don't impress me now sitting in the yeshiva now for 5 hours and learning Torah. You want to do that? Great, you have to do that. You have to learn Torah. You have to do mitzvot. But that's the basics. That's your air and your food to your neshama. But you really want to do the right tshuva is you start working on your Ahavat Israel. And it starts right in your home. It starts with your wife. And then it goes to your kids. And then to your employee or employers or whatever. And then to your neighbors. And then to your congregation and your community and so forth. The point is that each and every one of us, at some point, we have a point that is called an ego. That we, you know, we're around. Everything has to be around me. And that's unfortunately something that every human being has it. And not a lot of people don't, you know, they look at me like, oh no, he's not talking about me. I don't have any ego. The point is that we all have this ego. And if chas v'shalom somebody says something wrong to me, then I get offended because they offended me. The point is that I have to work on myself, especially in the month of Elul, is where I'm humbling myself, where I'm making myself more humble to see that another person is as equal to me as myself. It's just the same as me. And not to see a person that, oh, I'm much better than him. Oh, I learn more Torah than him. I know more than him. That's the complete opposite. The right way is to look at another person and judge every person favorably and to see every person eye to eye. I'm just the same. We're all the same. We're all the same human beings, and God loves us all the same. Doesn't matter how I dress or how I pray, how many times I pray, it doesn't matter. It's important. I'm not chas v'shalom telling you you don't have to. You have to. We all, that's why I said before, we're all equal. We're equal to the good and to the bad. And then when Torah tells us to do something, we're all equal in the same way. But the point is that we have to see each other equal. And we have to see each other. We know we say when we pray, Barchenu avinu kulanu ke'echad, bless us all as because we're all one. Not because I'm different than another person. Hashem doesn't see us as different. Hashem sees us completely equal to each other. And when I start making myself feel that I'm better than somebody else, Hashem says, no, you're not. You're not better than anybody else. You're all the same. So the real tshuva one needs to reflect in the month of Elul is not necessarily of what he messed up or what he didn't do or what he couldn't do or what he could did. This is basic things. This is the basic part of the tshuva. The more is to see how am I bringing myself to a level that I see eye to eye, that everybody, we're all the same. That we have unity. That we have achdut. And if we reach to that level, then we're going to be in a much, much better place. The reality is that we're all waiting for the same thing. Whether we acknowledge it or not, we're all waiting for the coming of Mashiach. Some people think it's real, some people think it's not real, some people don't want Mashiach to come because they just don't understand what it means. Some people think it's just some invention. I hear all these weird excuses. Ah, we've been waiting for so many years, it's all bobkas, it's nothing, it's an invention. The reality is that it's not. That's the reality, that Mashiach can come any second. That is the reality, it's not an invention. The fact that we've been waiting for thousands of years, yeah, but now is the time. And one of the reasons that we're still lacking the redemption is that we still have Sinat Chinam in our nation. That's why the Second Temple was destroyed. It was destroyed from Sinat Chinam. Sinat Chinam is that I hate somebody for no reason. I shouldn't hate anyone for any reason. Even if somebody did something bad to me, I should not hate him. Because ultimately Hashem sent that person to do that thing to me. That's the worst thing, is to hold grudge against somebody because he did something. It's basically literally turning around against the Kadosh Baruch Hu and says, I don't believe that you sent him. Because everything that happens to me that was approved by the Master of the Universe, the person was just acting as the messenger. So maybe he sued me or he cursed me or pushed me or whatever. He's just a messenger. Hashem allowed it to happen. So I have no right to come and hate anybody, so much more so when he didn't do anything. So we are suffering in exile because we are literally hating each other for no reason. This is called Sinat Chinam. Chinam means no reason. So when we're going to be able to reverse that, that's when we're going to have the merit to receive the ultimate redemption. And ultimately, we all really, whether we acknowledge it or not, we really want that. Deep down inside, each and every one of us is dealing with something that is really bothering him. And every person has this burden that is bothering him. One person cannot make money. Another person has a bad relationship with his wife. Another person, the kids are driving him crazy. Every person has something that is burdening him. And there's no one person in the world that can raise their hand and say, oh, I'm fine. I don't believe that. I don't believe that anyone can raise his hand and say, I'm totally perfect. Everything's fine. And even if everything on the surface might be fine, there's still something deep down inside that bothers you, that you don't like, that you would wish it would be different. And the reason is because Kadosh Baruch Hu is putting pressure on everybody, because he wants us not to be so comfortable. He wants us to be like praying. Because if everything is good, then we're numb. If something is bothering me, then that's when I start looking around, where can I get better? So the point is that Hashem wants us to not to pray this Tishrei and this Elul, give me a good parnasan next year and give me health and give me... Don't come to the Kadosh Baruch Hu with a list of demands, because he knows exactly what you need. You don't even have to pray. Just say a few lines, what you need, thank you very much, and that's it. Hashem knows exactly what you want, exactly what you need, exactly what you're able to handle. The right attitude is to pray, what am I getting this year? Is how am I getting the redemption coming faster? And that's only by working my acts, that my acts, yes, I have to follow the Torah and mitzvahs, but my acts is how am I loving another person, that even if I can't stand him, how can I work on myself to express this unconditional love to any person? Because everybody around me are equal to me. Same way that I love myself, and I think everything should be surrounded and pointed and centered at me. No, it's not about me. It's about everybody around me. And when your entire energy and effort is to see eye to everybody, then first of all, you become the best husband ever, the best father ever, the best employer, the best neighbor, the best everything. Because you don't care about only yourself, you care about everything around you. So by default, you're already making your life a much better place. So the point is not to look at what am I failing and what am I achieving, what am I not achieving in the spiritual, in the Torah world. That's important. That's the guide. That's the blueprint. Is how am I refining myself to become this much more worthy vessel to actually accept this unbelievable abundance that God wants to give me. And as long as I'm coming into this whole scenario with a little bit of an ego, it's not going to work. I have to leave the ego outside, my pride. Because my pride is my only stumbling block that will stop me from achieving anything. My gava. I mean, if you want to look at the complete opposite of it, that's being humble. I mean, we have all these character traits that we're born with and that we have to refine and work on. The best character trait one can reach is being humble. And the opposite of being humble is being a baal gava, arrogance. And you know, you look in our history, almost any one of our sages, they got a title. So Abraham got Avinu, our father, and Aaron, a Kohen, and Yosef, a Tzaddik, and David, a Melech, and everyone got a certain title. But Moshe got Rabbeinu, our teacher. Why? Because he teaches us one thing. Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humblest man in the world. Haya Anav Mikol. That's what we have to learn from our teachers. It's all about Anava. It's all about being humble. And look at Moshe Rabbeinu, he was so humble that you know the story with Korach, when Korach came to argue with him. Now Korach wasn't some hoodlum from the street. Korach was a Talmid Chacham. And not only that, he was a billionaire. And Korach he had everything. He had 250 heads of Supreme Courts backing him up. Korach was a serious guy. And he comes to Moshe and starts telling, who do you think you are? You're giving everything into, keeping it in the family? What, you're giving your jobs? You're lying to us? You this? He came and started arguing with him. Now you would think that Moshe Rabbeinu will answer him, whoa, relax. Who do you think you're talking to? I'm the king. You know who I am? I took the Jews out of Egypt. I split the sea. I talked to Hashem. You would think that that's how he would react. But the Torah tells us different. The Torah says, Vayipol al panav vayevk. He fell on his face and started crying. Because in his mind he says, wait a minute, maybe he's right. Maybe I am wrong. Maybe I did something wrong. That's the level of anava. I'm not saying, woo, you know who I am. You would expect that would be his answer. On the other hand, he was like, no. Maybe I did something wrong. And that's the level, that's real anava. That's real being real humble. And that's the level of what we need to try to strive. And this is what our master, our teacher is teaching us. Moshe Rabbeinu is teaching us. Just be humble. The Ramban says, Hashpel tatzmecha v'nasecha ha-makom. Make yourself low. Kadosh Baruch Hu already is going to raise you up to high levels. So the way to really work on myself to be this vessel, to receive this unbelievable abundance from the Kadosh Baruch Hu, only if I humble myself to a level that I don't feel that I'm anything, that I don't have my own yeshut, my what's called gasut haruach, this coarseness. And when a person humbles himself, then he sees everybody as equal to him. I don't think, oh, I'm much better than him because I learn more Torah, or I'm better than him because I give more charity than him. It's all nonsense. Hashem doesn't tolerate that. Hashem cannot tolerate any arrogance and gaiva, being proud. Oh, I'm so good. Because in the eyes of Hashem, like I said, we're all equal. Like a father looking at his kids, loves the kids just the same. So the point to take from the month of Elul is, yes, one needs to reflect on our own acts and see where did I did wrong, where did I miss out, where can I do better. Yeah, you have to reflect. You have to do your own soul searching, your own accounting. Where am I holding? But to look at it more in a positive way by saying, not where did I mess up, where can I get better? Where can the next year, you know how they say in America, New Year's, what's your resolution? So you make resolution. Saying, okay, the next coming year, I'm going to be a much better husband. I'm going to be a much better father. I have to do Torah and mitzvahs. That I'll add too. But where can I be a better mensch? Where can I be? I'll be more honest. I'll be more loving, more tolerating. That's really what's impressing the Kadosh Baruch Hu. When a person wants to become a real worthy vessel, to be able to sustain this blessing that God wants to give you is only if you really take your own vessel and you start shining it. You do the vessel by following the Torah and mitzvahs. That's how you build your vessel. But a vessel can be a beautiful vessel, but still very dirty. And you start cleaning your vessel mainly when you're working on yourself. That's really what you want to concentrate in the month of Elul, because now it's coming in a discount. When you do that, you come to the day of Rosh Hashanah. That's when we really can get to the level of Barchenu Avinu Kulanu Ke'echad. Bless us, our Father, like we're all as one. Because in order to receive this blessing at one, we have to practice it. We have to really believe and live it. So, Mezad Hashem, that's what we need to concentrate on the month of Elul. How am I reaching to the level that I'm refining myself? That beside the Torah and the mitzvot that I have to follow, is how am I refining myself that I can actually tolerate another person, even though I don't really like him? Or I don't agree with his opinions, or whatever. That's the level one should work on. If you're able to really look at another person and says, okay, I don't agree with his political views, I don't agree with how he lives his life, but it doesn't matter, but I still respect him, and I still don't judge him, and I will live peacefully next to him, because that's the will of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Needless to say, when it's in there in my own home, when I practice this in my own home, that's really the hard part. I'm saying it in a not the right way of saying tolerating, but it's in my own home is to have this understanding to everybody around me, to the needs of everybody around me. I mean, my wife, she has her needs. It's not about me; it's about everybody in the house, and my kids. Even though my kid can be 3-year-old, the kid has needs. They don't need a father that is angry when he comes home from work. So the point is that I have to constantly, before I walk into my home, is to say, you know what, I have a whole household in my home. There's a woman in my home, she's my wife, she's my other half. There's some kids there, there's maybe a worker. Before I come into the home, you take a 5-minute break, sit in your car and say, okay, let me take all the junk that I accumulated the entire day, leave it outside, and when I'm coming home, I come home without an attitude. Why? Because it's not about me, if I had a good day or a bad day. It's about other people also. When you practice your life like that, is where can I actually affect somebody and accept their life, then you're making room for all these blessings that we wish and we hope to get for ourselves. Because like I started in the beginning, Hashem is just bestowing this unbelievable abundance on us. He just says, but listen, you have to be able to handle it. If you can't handle it, I can't give it to you. This is mainly what we want to concentrate in the last few days of Elul, is how am I refining myself that I'm a worthy vessel to receive this unbelievable abundance. And Bezat Hashem, if we all work on ourselves into that level, we will be a vessel to receive the ultimate redemption that we really, really want. Whether we acknowledge it or not, whether we believe in it or not, that is happening and we all need it. I mean, it's much better to pray for the Redeemer to come and get us out of the mud than to pray for a miracle to save ourselves from our problems. What can I do for you? So that's the right attitude. See, she asked, what can I do for you? You can send us Mashiach. See, nothing happens by chance. So Bezat Hashem, we should have the ability and the common sense and the love and the understanding that we should refine ourselves, we should reach to a much higher level, that we are a worthy vessel to accept and take this unbelievable abundance that the Kadosh Baruch Hu is willing to give us. And Bezat Hashem, with every little act that we do, we're able to affect the entire world and to receive the ultimate redemption with the coming of Mashiach, and it should happen very soon, way before Rosh Hashanah. And if Chas V'Shalom we have to wait a few more days, then at least the coming year should be the year that we are redeemed, where we're all back to where we belong, and Bezat Hashem it should happen very speedy in our days. Wish you Shana Tova, and Gmar Chatima Tova, and all the good blessings should come and bestow all Am Yisrael, and should only be in a revealed and blessed physical and spiritual.